We'll continue with the prayer of illumination. God, source of all light, by your word you give light to the soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding that our hearts and minds be opened. The first scripture reading is Psalm 27, found on pages 503 to 504. Triumphant Song of Confidence of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Beautiful. Our gospel reading today comes from Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. We have moved through the stories of Jesus' early ministry, and up to this point in this chapter, he's been teaching again, drawing on some of his ideas from the parables, reworking some of the teachings that we've heard elsewhere, casting out demons, performing miracles, moving towards the fullness of his ministry, which he is about to take towards Jerusalem. We are in the season of Lent, and from Luke chapter 13, we hear Jesus' lament for Jerusalem. At that very hour, some of the Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus had been teaching in the synagogues preceding this. So you think about this. These are the religious folks coming to say, "You're going to get yourself in trouble. Pay attention." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me." Oh, I love it. Jesus says, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Amen. God, we pray that as we hear this text and as we sit in this place 2 weeks into the season of Lent, that we would feel the call to take stock, to pay attention, to look out upon our world, and to lament what is broken, cry out for your healing, and trust in your liberating love. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. Amen. I've had a harder time with this text than I expected. How do we find the good news here? Amidst this lament from Jesus and threat of violence from the powers that be, how is this good news to the oppressed, the poor? Where is God's liberation? Well, maybe we, like Jesus and his disciples, maybe we need to step back and see a bit more. I don't know about you, but I can guess that you're like me and you feel the need sometimes to step back onto the hillside and examine, to look at your life. I have some places I like to go and do that around town. Maybe you do as well. I love standing on the footbridge halfway up Alabama Hill, looking back to the west over Bellingham. From there, you can see Seaholme Hill with Fairhaven off in the distance and the bay beyond. You can see downtown. You can see our little section of high-rises. I was just noticing, even just this week, how from the top of Alabama, or even on that footbridge, looking back, you can see the way the city drops down to the bay. That slow decrease of elevation that's perhaps less notable up close. I think back to other vantage points around town and elsewhere. I think of my freshman year coming up to Western Washington University, climbing onto the top of the lookout tower in Seaholme Hills Arboretum to see the Canadian Rockies and Mount Baker. Or perhaps standing on the Performing Arts Center Plaza just outside the Viking Union, surveying Bellingham Bay, the waterfront, Lummi Island, and the San Juans beyond in the distance. This year, my family's been fortunate to stand in some pretty epic places and see some amazing views. Days before the Olympics began in France, we stood on the steps of the French word I'm about to butcher, Sacré-Cœur Basilica in Montmartre. It was a misty afternoon, but the view was still fantastic, looking back over the city of Paris in all its splendor, or riding in the London Eye, almost 450 feet above the Thames River, looking out over that great old city. This week, I hope to have the opportunity to stand in a similar vantage point in the city of San Salvador, a place to see the city and reflect upon its history, its sorrows, and its enduring witness to the world. Jesus and his disciples stand at a distance from Jerusalem and survey the city. Set apart, able to look upon the city from a distance, allows Jesus to speak words of lament. You see, he knows where he's going. As we've journeyed with Jesus from his birth in the Advent season, his rise to ministry during Epiphany, and his early teachings and miracles, now he begins to pivot, turning his eyes to Jerusalem. You see, at this point, Jesus' ministry has been pretty much to the periphery, around Jerusalem, the countryside, his own hometown, the surrounding areas, teaching and healing and preparing. The turn to Jerusalem turns our attention to the heart of the matter. Jerusalem is the religious center of life, yes, and it's also the political, social, and economic hub. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city of peace. Jesus knows the city is anything but peaceful, especially for prophets, teachers, and this movement of liberation that he is bringing with him. Jesus sees the disorder of Jerusalem, even as he knows what the city was meant to be. Jerusalem, house of peace, place of peace. Names are what we hope things to be, not always what they are. We can go a lot of important directions with this text today, especially as it speaks to the historical moment of Jesus' ministry, this vantage point where he looks upon the city of that he beloves with lament and sees the people going astray. And of course, we've heard the note about Herod, the ruler, Herod, the one who feels threatened by the rising tide of Jesus' movement. Herod, the one who would seek to end Jesus' uprising by killing him, silencing him. Herod, the one who holds power that no one would dare question. Herod the strong man. And as we note with Herod, we come to see one of the themes of our Lenten study, this concept of God's preferential option for the poor. How does Herod contrast with the God of freedom and liberation? Well, when we step back, perhaps we can see the things in this world moving around us a bit more clearly. And this is one of those invitations that we find in the season of Lent, to step back and to take stock. What in our lives must be lamented, cried over, railed against? What is hurting? What do you wish you could say to God honestly, in criticism and out of pain? What do we lament for? What do we long to see healed? What systems do we lament? What structures do we long to see healed? Perhaps the question is even more basic. Can you lament? Have you been able to set free the tears and the angst that sits inside? Of course, we know grief and we know sorrow, but have we been able to lament, to speak these words of struggle? Perhaps in this season of Lent, we can welcome the invitation to lamentation. Could we let it be a faithful response to how we are experiencing our world? Jesus laments over Jerusalem because he loves the city and he loves the people. They are his kin, members of the kingdom he is establishing here on earth. Jerusalem, the city that was meant to be a refuge for the people, now is a state under siege. Jerusalem, the city of peace, is now a city of broken conflict. We lament with Jesus as we acknowledge that things are not as they should be, not as they are promised. For me, this is where I find the good news of liberation in this text. It is in Jesus' willingness to bear his anger and lament toward his own people that speaks of his true taking common cause with the poor. Jesus is the teacher, rabbi, man of religion and man of God, coming Messiah. Jesus is willing to critique and examine the faults of the powers of the world. Jesus criticizes Herod, subverting the powers. When Jesus, the righteous one, does this, the poor see him standing in solidarity with them. To challenge the powerful is to take the side of the poor. I have a lot of wondering questions to leave us with today. How do we need to step back and take stock of the world? Your world, our world. Where do you go to get clear and take this moment to be with God, to listen to what God is speaking to you? What would it mean for us to step outside the systems that benefit us, to speak truth to power? Can you find in this season a place to lament and truly acknowledge, name, speak, and then entrust to God, the good mother hen, to brood with you over your sorrows and sweep you into loving arms, if only we would ask. O Jerusalem, O Bellingham, O people of God, may our lament rise up and be the foundation that we stand upon as we resist cycles of death and oppression in this world. Lord, in your mercy, we pray that you come quickly to our aid. Lord, liberate our hearts from this sorrow. Set our eyes upon you. Amen. Lord, we ask that you would walk with us in our times of sorrow, our times of hope. Lord, teach us to retreat with you, to step back and see the world as it is. And then in us, light a fire of hope, a spark of action, of taking common cause with one another and being your people together, who resist oppression, who resist the brokenness of this world, and instead find loving reconciliation as your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.